you know, people should keep their eyes out there for opportunities like this, where it's something that is detrimental to their local environment. Like, in Macy's or Todd, if you can't beat them, eat them.
Hello, and welcome back to The Food Fix, the show where we talk to all kinds of folks about innovative ways to better feed the world. I hope everyone had a lovely Thanksgiving and saved all of their leftovers, because we don't want to further contribute to the $293 million worth of food that Americans waste every Thanksgiving. Yeah, that's right. Let me say it one more time for the people in the back. Every year, $293 million worth of food is thrown out on Thanksgiving. Like, what's up with that, you guys? Jeez Louise, ever heard of a freezer? My God. But all right. Okay. I get it. Dry, cold turkey sandwiches get old after a while, I would imagine. Too much of anything gets old after a while. I mean, come on, meat guys. Don't you ever get sick of the same old burgers and chicken tenders and brisket? I don't know what you guys eat. I'm vegan. But don't you ever long for a new source of protein? And no, I'm not trying to sell you on something plant-based this time, but I am trying to sell you on something that's good for the environment. This week, I introduce you to the shrimpy, the crabby, the itsy-bitsy, teeny-weedy, invasive freshwater lobster known as the crawfish, or crawdaddy, whatever you please. For those of you who aren't familiar, these guys are essentially freshwater lobsters, but they're like 3 to 5 inches long. I've always known them as like the terrifying little crustaceans that sat disguised in the sand in the swamp I used to catch frogs in when I was a kid, and I was always horrified that I might step on one and it would pinch me with its little claws. It gives me the heebie-jeebies. I don't like crustaceans of any kind. But the crayfish that I stumbled across in Michigan, they're not the subject of today's episode. We'll actually be talking about the rusty crayfish, which is invasive in the state of Minnesota, and it's wreaking havoc on the lake ecosystems. But as Garrett Lima says, if you can't beat them, eat them. I just love that. It's so, he doesn't have an accent, but I think that's so clever, and I'm going to say it so many times this episode. Anyways, Northern Waters Crayfish LLC was born, and now Garrett and his business partner Yusuf are helping to control the invasive crayfish population by eating them. This is such a fun and quirky solution to a massive problem, and I'm just so excited to have gotten this interview. So, without further ado, let's jump in.
I'm Garrett Lima. I'm one of the co-founders of Northern Waters Crayfish, Crawdaddies in northern Minnesota. And we are a commercial crawfish harvester targeting an invasive species.
Okay, so first of all, what is a crayfish or crawdad? First of all, what is the correct name for them and what are they?
They're both correct. You know, you'll hear very common names, crawfish, crayfish, crawdaddies. Like, everything is basically okay to use. So they're a crustacean. They're a decapod. They're functionally, and they're freshwater lobsters. They look like them. They and act like them.
So are they the same size as the lobsters that we're probably all imagining, or are they a little bit smaller?
Functionally, like, they look just like a tiny little lobster. The ones that we get are usually anywhere from 3.5 to 5.5 inches long. So, like, about the size of a good shrimp. There's actually it's a funny anecdote, but Cajun culture says that they followed them from leaving Quebec to Louisiana, and they got starved on the way. So the lobsters followed them and shrunk on the way because they were so they were starving. So, yeah.
Don't you just love that little story? I like the image of like a giant herd of lobsters following a group of people on a trek across the country with their tiny little legs. Crayfish are in Louisiana. We know that. That's normal. So how did these invasive crayfish get to Minnesota?
So where we're at is kind of a holiday and outdoor destination with a lot of fishing lakes. And they got here as bait. People brought them along to, you know, like fish for some of the sport fish around here. And they got loose and now they're becoming a problem.
Okay, got it. So they were being used as bait and then they got loose. And then what? Are they terrorizing the lakes? Have they taken over? Are they having an effect on Minnesota's lake ecosystems?
Absolutely. They're really, really voracious. They will eat practically everything, vegetable matter, meat, fish, eggs, and they've kind of destroyed a lot of the aquatic vegetation in the area, which everything else in the food chain in these lakes depends on. So it's pretty much bare bones and rocks out there.
All right, so now we understand the problem. Invasive crayfish are bad and they're screwing with the food chain in Minnesota. So then you come in, and Yusuf. So what's your guys' project?
Okay, our project is a commercial fishing enterprise to harvest and market specifically this crayfish, but other ones as well. We're working with the University of Minnesota and our local soil and water conservation districts on ways to manage it with aquatic invasive species. So we're trying to knock down the population and gather up as much data as we can about these guys and see what we can do to help.
And the way in which you're knocking down the crayfish population is by eating them, correct?
We started off with just my business partner and I catching them for our own consumption. And then we realized, wow, we're not going to make much of an impact if it's just the two of us and feeding them to our families. So we figured, hey, what if we try to get everybody else to eat them too? So we're trying to move into some of the restaurants around town. We already got a bunch on, and we're trying to really get it on people's plates.
How clever is that, you guys? Hence Garrett's quote at the beginning, again, if you can't beat them, eat them. I love that. So being, you know, a vegan from Michigan, the idea of eating crayfish seemed like pretty whack to me. But has it been done before? Do people eat crayfish anywhere else?
Crayfish, they're all over the world, and they're in a lot of cuisines worldwide. I mean, anywhere from Chinese, Thai to Scandinavian and German. Everybody eats them. Of course, you know, Louisiana crawfish is a thing. There's a really, really big market for like the Scandinavian style ones up here, and that's kind of what has been pushed out. And people seem to have a really nice reaction to them. Like, people want them.
Okay, well, now you got me on the line with this highly sought after Scandinavian style crayfish that you mentioned. Please tell me more about that.
So a lot of the people who immigrated over here, their families were, you know, from Sweden or Norway or Finland, and they kind of kept some of that palate. Lots of like fresh dill and cardamom, and kind of just give them a nice soak with some lemon and some capers. And it's just like this beautiful, fresh, sweet flesh, like just super tasty shrimp.
Ooh, how fancy is that? So tell me more about the taste. And how do you recommend preparing crayfish?
They kind of have just like a really nice sweet crustacean taste. If you ever had like, less funky than crab, freshwater crustaceans are just a lot cleaner tasting and sweet, especially because these are also cold water. So if you ever had really good cold water Maine lobster, it's a lot like that, just teeny. And as far as cooking goes, my favorite way is an old like family style that I adapted from our shrimp, which is you just chuck it in a hot coconut oil with peanuts, a bunch of scallions, ginger, and fish sauce.
I mean, come on. I've actually never had crab or lobster or shrimp before, just because fish and crustaceans freak me out and I'm trying to stay on good terms with their kind. But now I'm thinking that it's most likely that crayfish might actually be the first one I try, because I can justify that as a vegan, because it's doing good for the environment, you know? Anyways, I believe you guys use crayfish for more than just eating. Is that right?
We use them for a multitude of things besides just eating. Like we love eating them as a cuisine, and then we'll take all the shells and we crush them up and add them to our compost, or we use them as soil amendments. The runoff water from like using it, we, you know, put in our gardens. Like it's has a multitude of uses outside of just, you know, eating them, which is also kind of the best thing right out of the gate to do with them.
That's so satisfying to me, knowing that nothing is going to waste. You're using the whole body. How great is that? So the harvesting process, when you're going out and actually catching the crayfish, is that expensive? Is it laborious?
It's definitely labor intensive more than it is expensive. There's a high kind of initial cost because there's equipment you need. Like it gets real, real cold up here. So end of the season, you definitely need to have, you know, insulated bibs and, you know, hand warmers and good equipment. You need good boats for it. They like to be in shallow water. You need the traps and everything else along with it. But luckily, we got a big hand from the University of Minnesota's Rural Sustainability Development Project. And that kind of helped really kickstart this and make this functional for us and something that was achievable.
So is this just one lake that you're working in, or are crayfish a problem across the state?
So the rusty crayfish is becoming invasive over a lot of Minnesota at the moment. In our county, we know of at least 4 or 5 lakes that it's starting to occur in, and the one we work on is the most infested. But yeah, it's becoming a problem throughout the state, and hopefully, I mean, there's room to expand out. We're focusing on the first large lake because this is our pilot year. We're getting a kind of a feel for everything, and it's been really successful. We can't keep them out of the traps.
Gotcha. So you're looking to branch out eventually, but in this one main problem lake that you're in right now, what do your traps look like? How many are you catching in one go? And do you have any idea how many crayfish are living there?
It has to be millions. We really thought to make a go of it, starting off just as amateurs doing it for our own consumption when we had basically just little minnow traps, if you ever see them, for like, you know, just catching bait fish or whatever. So we throw a bunch of those out on the line, and when we brought them up, they were completely full, like crawling over each other, a couple pounds in each one. So it clicked in our heads of, oh, we could do something with these. Like, there's a ton of them, and if they're bad for the environment, we could really make an impact.
Millions, you guys. That's wild. Holy moly, man. So, Garrett, do you know, are invasive crayfish a problem across the Midwest or just in Minnesota?
So they're native to the Ohio River Valley and its tributaries. And it's been kind of spreading around now. I know they have a problem with them in Wisconsin as well, and Iowa. But as far as that, I'm not sure on how bad it's getting throughout the rest of the region. We're kind of in our own little bubble up here with them.
Okay, so Wisconsin and Iowa for sure. So would your goal be eventually to spread beyond Minnesota and work throughout the Midwest?
We're just getting our feet up under us with how we can market this and get it around going. But we're keeping it at the moment to Minnesota. We're actually one of the only commercial harvesters in Minnesota. I think we're the only state that has an importation law, so you can't import live crayfish here. So that opens up an opportunity. If we can get people to start like chowing down on these guys, that would be great. And a big portion of our system too, and our project, is that we're in a food desert. We're on the end of the supply chain, and everything else going on, inflation and that, food costs are getting really high here. We'd love to be able to create some more resiliency within our community and within Minnesota in general for providing just localized food solutions, especially if it is one that's helping manage an environment that is, you know, being deteriorated and affected by these invasive species.
Love that message. One of the big, big solutions to fixing our food system is to localize where we get our food. And this whole project is just a fantastic way to do that. Now, when he says food desert, he means he lives in a spot where it's hard to buy fresh, affordable food, either because there's not a lot of grocery stores nearby, or it's hard to just grow food in that climate in general, or whatever. So, Garrett, would you say the whole state of Minnesota is a food desert, or just your community in the northeastern part of the state?
So where we're at specifically, we're a pretty isolated rural county. We're right up on the Canadian border, and it's everything has to get trucked in, fresh veggies, especially now that all the snow's down, like start getting few and far between. Not a lot of localized greenhouse solutions, at least at commercial scale. So yeah, just things start drying up and you see the price of like ground beef and zucchini start really going up around this time.
Sounds like a great place for a deep winter greenhouse, huh? Yeah, I think so. So tell me more about how business is going. Where can people buy your crayfish?
So we are working with some of the local restaurants, the Fisherman's Daughter, the Angry Trout Cafe, the Gunflint Tavern, and we're expanding into other businesses as well. We're a tourist town. People like to come up here for the summer and have fun, and seeing fresh local things on the menu has been really, really good feedback. It's becoming quite a hit. We've already had people coming back for return visits in the same summer asking like, oh, where's the crayfish? So we're hoping to expand now. We want to start processing. At this point, we are capturing live and selling, but ideally we want to be able to process them, freeze them, and get them in the supermarkets as well around here. Be able to just get that into people's fridges and freezers instead of just, you know, when they have a nice night out.
Okay, so just in local restaurants right now, but maybe one day you guys could buy some online and have them shipped to your house. So last question, if you don't mind me asking, are you guys making good money?
So business-wise, yeah, this is the pilot year. We've got all of our startup costs going and stuff, but I mean, just in this first year, we've managed to move like hundreds and hundreds of pounds selling of crayfish. So it looks really good. I mean, we got to the point where we couldn't keep up. It was like, oh, we have to expand, which is a good problem to have. Build it up inside.
I try not to scream. You can't beat them, eat them. Is that not the best catchphrase in the world? Can't beat them, eat them. It sounds so much better with an accent too. I think Garrett should acquire an accent because it just packs more punch. I'm being really unvegan right now, but I'm in full support of eating invasive species. It's actually more vegan if you think about it, because by eating them, I'm actually saving more animals in the long run. Yeah, that's right. I'm a thinker. It's a loophole, baby. Can't beat them, eat them. Anyways, thank you so much. Thank you, Garrett, for talking with me. This is such a cool project, and I hope this episode might inspire some other people to consider these kinds of crafty solutions to their environmental problems. You know, if you can't beat them, eat them. That's why I need a co-host full time, because somebody to keep me on track, because I'm going to keep this all in the episode because I can't. Anyways, if you like this episode, please, please leave me a good review. And even if you didn't, just remember, I would do the same for you because we're friends. Thank you, Night Center, for letting me work here. Thank you, Freezer Bees, for making great music. If you got anything that you guys want to learn about that you think would make for a good episode, shoot me an email at msufoodfix@gmail.com, and I'd be honored to help you out with that. Alrighty, until next week, remember, if you can't beat them, you know the rest. I've been your host, Cassidy Huff.